Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray finished off our series, The Gratitude Initiative, with a message titled, Thanksgiving All Year Long. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Overflowing tide of gratitude or thanksgiving. You know, it really, as we grasp God's goodness, if that's possible, do you think it's really even possible at all to grasp God's goodness in our lives? I don't know that it is. I don't know if we can in this life. I'm not sure that we will ever fully comprehend it in eternity, although I think we'll get close. But all of the things that God has done that we just kind of ignored or things that we were unaware of God's goodness in our lives, I just don't know that we will ever fully get it. But as we begin to grasp His goodness, I think the only appropriate response is that we would live a life continuously overflowing with gratitude. It's only right and only fitting that we would live as grateful people. And so here's what I'm thinking this morning. What if we took it upon ourselves to keep this gratitude revolution going? I mean, do you think that would be a good idea? That we would keep this revolution of gratitude, this revolution of thanks going, not just on Thanksgiving month or Thanksgiving day, but 365 days a year? We were in our deacon's prayer team meeting early this morning, and one of our deacons, Jason Mitchell, led the prayer, and he didn't know what I was going to talk about, but he just said he's been thinking about this, and he doesn't want this gratitude initiative idea to end because it's so powerful and it's so appropriate in our lives. What if we decided to celebrate Thanksgiving Day all year long, minus the gravy and turkey and pumpkin pie, of course? Or not. I mean, that was pretty good. Why not do that all the time? But what if we kept Thanksgiving Day? Why don't we make it Thanksgiving Year? Why don't we celebrate it all year long? What if we were to adopt a conscious strategy of thanksgiving? Of thanksgiving for the next 365 days. Anyone want to do it with me? I think that's a great idea. Thanksgiving. I know you say, well, that's kind of corny. Well, that's how I roll, okay? It's a little corny, I know, but it's appropriate, isn't it, that we would adopt a strategy of intentional thanksgiving 365 days a year. You know, I'm pretty sure that's what God wants from us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, says, rejoice how often? Always. Pray how often? Continually. To give thanks in everything, not just the good things, but in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is God's will for you and for me. Do you think this is what God wants from us? Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says this, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that God has done. Thanksgiving. It's God's idea, and it's a good idea. You know, think about this. Isn't Thanksgiving what we teach our kids when they're little? I mean, don't we teach them to be grateful beings? We teach them to learn to give thanks for the things that have been done for them, things that have been given to them. Again, this weekend, this last few days, we were in Seattle with our kids, and our little guy, Noah, the littlest one, Nathan's not old enough yet, but they're teaching Noah how to say thanks, or that he should say thanks for things that he's receiving. Just say thanks. What do you say, Noah? Thank you. Thank you. We teach our kids this because we want them to be grateful beings. Why do we forget this as adults? Why do we move on from this as adults? As we grow up and as we grow older, I think we become a little bit like Bart Simpson, whose dad, Homer, asked him to say thanks, to give thanks over the meal. And he said, why should we thank God for this? We bought this food at the store. I mean, sometimes we kind of develop that attitude of ingratitude. You know, either assertively we're not grateful, or we just by neglect we're not grateful beings. Why do we forget? You know, even if our kids don't feel thankful, we still want them to say thanks for the good things, the kind things that they have received, because it's just the right thing to do. Why? Because every human being lives with a debt of gratitude to someone for something. There's not a human being on the planet, there's not a human being in this room that does not owe a debt of gratitude to someone for something in their lives. And so we hope that our kids will not just parrot those words, but they will grow to be authentically, fundamentally grateful beings. We want them to live as grateful human beings. Well, that's what our Heavenly Father hopes for His kids, for us, that we would live as fundamentally grateful beings. The habit of giving thanks is just an organic sign, a fundamental sign of our awareness of our spiritual adoption into God's family. To know that we belong to God forever due to no righteousness, no worth of our own, is simply by His mercy and His grace and His goodness and His kindness. When it sinks in, we ought to just live as grateful beings. And as we do, we stay aware, we become aware of our spiritual adoption into the family, the forever family of God. That's why Ambrose, who was a bishop in the 4th century in the city of Milan, said this. This is profound, it's powerful. He says, no duty, think about this, no duty is more urgent than that of returning thanks. There's no duty more urgent than that. Then say, God, thank you. Thank you. The Roman philosopher Seneca said that thanksgiving or gratitude is not only the greatest virtue, it is the parent of all other virtues. So much flows out of a heart of gratitude, and there is no duty more urgent than returning thanks to the Father for His goodness and His kindness to us. No duty is more urgent. I agree with what Ambrose said. But not only does God deserve our gratitude, and I hope over this series that if you didn't believe this already, that we made a case for the deservedness of God in having us as His children be grateful beings, but I also hope that you understand now that it is one of the most self-benefiting things that you can do, to be grateful. Being grateful is one of the most self-benefiting things that you can do. God has designed us to operate that way. He has designed us that when we give thanks, and not only does it rightly recognize Him, but it brings benefits into our lives, body, soul, and spirit. Now, this morning, and this is going to be maybe a little bit of repeat of some things that we've already said, I hope in a fresh way, but I want to show you why that joining me in Thanksgiving this next year will bring health to yourself. Why Thanksgiving will produce health to the self. Let me give you some reasons. For starters, Thanksgiving will prevent the disease of self-centeredness. Thanksgiving will prevent the disease of self-centeredness. Our world, our nation, our culture is suffering mightily under self-centered living by too many people right now. It is so easy in our self-focused culture to fall into selfishness, to fall into narcissistic living, to become a part of the entitlement crowd, to live aggrieved of things that have happened or not happened for you. That is just kind of the drift of our culture these days. But gratitude forces us to recognize that God is at the center of the universe, and not me, not us. God is at the center of it all. And that it's only by His generosity that we're even taking in oxygen in this moment. Only because of God's generosity are we alive today. No one said that better than Jeremiah the prophet in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Let me paraphrase it. He said, "It is only God's mercy that keeps us from utter destruction." Why are we still here? Why have we not been vaporized already? It is only by God's mercy that we're kept from that. His loving kindness begins afresh each day. The deal is, if not for God's generosity, think about it, you wouldn't have been able to stuff your face with turkey this past Thursday, if not for God's generosity. And giving thanks forces us into a perspective that sees every second of life as a precious gift from God. You know, one of the things that I've loved about going through this gratitude initiative and really consciously practicing gratitude is just to be aware. It's how it's made me aware of even the little gifts that God puts into my life day by day. This morning, I was thinking about this. I got up early and was kind of doing some prep on the sermon and trying to refine it, and the house was kind of cold this morning. It was very, very early, and I was kind of chilled, and I left my study, and I went up to get ready for church, and I turned the shower on, full blast, full hot, and I stepped into it, the steaming hot shower. And how many of you know it's easy to be grateful to God when you have a hot shower, right? Doesn't that just feel so good? And as I was standing under the hot water, I just thought, God, thank you for this. I serve in parts of the world where there is no hot water. There is no shower. There's a dribble. There's not a shower. There's a dribble at best. You know, we serve in a part of the world where water kills people because of waterborne disease. And yet here I am standing in this hot shower, and I can drink water from my faucet. Oh, just the little gifts of God. Gratitude forces us to stay aware of what we have and how good God has been to us. Today, you got a new day because God said to you, wake up, I'm loaning you the breath of life again today. That's the only reason why we're here today. Expressing that kind of fundamental gratitude daily keeps you focused on God's goodness and not you. It keeps God at the center of your universe, and it keeps self in check. And that is, I'm telling you, that is a healthy, healthy thing for your life. And if more and more people would do that in our culture today, we would be better off by far. Keeping God at the center. Gratitude does that. It keeps us from self-centeredness. Another benefit of thanksgiving is that it will prevent the disease of self-pity. Not only self-centeredness, but it prevents the disease of self-pity. Anyone feel sorry for yourself this week at all? Anyone sitting next to somebody who felt sorry for themselves this week? You know, we fall into self-pity very easily, don't we? Practicing gratitude forces us into an awareness. This is so powerful, that sees God's hand and God's plan, even in times of unfairness and disappointment and hurt and loss and even grief. I was talking to somebody last week after the service, and we talked about how gratitude keeps us from grumbling, how it prevents the sin of griping. And they said, well, not only that, they said, it also has covered my grief this week. It's moderated my grief. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. We need to talk about that. And so I am. Gratitude even will redeem and repurpose our grief into a better kind of grieving. It doesn't take it away. God has given us grief for a purpose, but it repurposes, it re-theologizes our grief. And seeing that the gracious hand of God is in even that, and God's plan is being worked out in our lives. King David, at the end of his life, wrote Psalm chapter 30. He wrote it as a song to be sung at the dedication of the temple. You know, all of his life he had worked toward that moment where he could build God a house, a permanent house. And God came to David and said, you know, you've been involved in too many things that I can't let you do that. I'm going to let you prepare for it. I'm going to let your son build my house, but you're not going to do it. And so David understood that. He was disappointed, but he surrendered to the will of God, and he made preparation. One of the things that David did was he wrote a song. Now, keep in mind that David had been through enormous disappointment, enormous loss, and enormous grief in his life, at the hands of his enemies, at the hands of his friends, at the hands of his family, even self-inflicted grief David suffered from. And in Psalm chapter 30, verses 11 and 12, this is what he said. He said, he actually sang this. He says, he's saying, you have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. I will give you thanks forever. Powerful. I will give you thanks. You've taken away my mourning. I will give you thanks forever. Thankfulness releases God's perspective into our lives. When we would otherwise see only emotional pain on the road behind us, and only hardship and difficulty on the path of, on the path ahead. Thanksgiving brings God's perspective into view. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. One of my favorite verses, and I'm sure you know it by heart. Let me paraphrase it for you. Paul says, don't worry about anything. And under the category of worry, you could put just about anything, couldn't you? Because worry really is taking onto your own shoulders that which only God can resolve. When we're angry, when we're devastated by hopelessness or by grief, or we're down and depressed, really that's a form of anxiety and worry. He says, listen, don't worry about anything, but pray about it with a thankful heart. And then God will bless you with peace that no one can completely explain. Peace that will control the way you think and feel. I don't know about you, but I need something, a lot of times, I need something to control the way I think. Anyone else besides me need that? I need someone besides me controlling the way I feel, because sometimes I don't feel too good. When we pray with thanksgiving, we are promised that the peace of God will control the way we think and the way we feel. On December 24th, 4 months before he was hanged in a Nazi concentration camp, he'd been in prison and he had suffered horribly at the hands of these Nazi persecutors. On Christmas Eve, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this. He said, gratitude changes the pangs of memory into tranquil joy. You want your grief and your loss assuaged? Thanksgiving, gratitude will do it. Thanksgiving keeps the spigot open to an uneven flow of my pain in exchange for God's peace. It's a lopsided exchange, God's peace for my pain, and the surpassing peace that floods my soul through grateful prayer. I don't know about you, I think you're with me on this, but I would take the peace of God over self-pity any day. It's far better. It's a far better exchange. Gratitude keeps us from the disease of self-pity. Then, thanksgiving will prevent the disease of low self-esteem. Anyone here ever feel bad about yourself? Feel like you're not up to snuff? You feel like you just don't have it? Don't have it going on? Well, thanksgiving, gratitude, forces me to see how blessed I truly am. As I was sharing earlier, just to recognize the simple gifts of God in our daily lives. It forces me to see what I have, not what I don't. It forces me to see who I am, not what I ain't. It helps me to see where I'm going, not where I'm stuck. Gratitude helps me to see life from an entirely different point of view. What do I have on my worst day? What do you have on our worst day? We still have salvation. On your worst day, you're still saved. That's what led the Apostle Paul to exclaim this in this outburst of gratitude in the opening verse in 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What do you think that indescribable gift is? Salvation. On your very worst rotten day, you still are saved. That's what you have. Who are we? Who are we? Well, on our worst day, we are God's prized possession. James says, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He chose to give us new birth, and we, out of all creation, became his what? His prized possession. When you're feeling bad about yourself, guess what? You're still God's prized possession. Where are you headed? Not just to lunch after church. You're headed to heaven. Peter says, how fortunate we are to have this Father. He has given us new life and everything to live for, including what? A future in heaven. And God is keeping careful watch over both us and our future. No matter how down you get, no matter how low you go, no matter how awful you feel about your life, on your worst day, you are still an eternally saved, heaven-bound, cherished child of God. on your worst day. Somebody ought to say amen to that one at least. That's who we are. That's what we have. That's where we're headed. Thanksgiving anchors your self-esteem and your eternal worth in that divine reality. Finally, thanksgiving will prevent the disease of what I call self-perpetuating poverty. And I'm not just talking about spiritual poverty, emotional poverty, relational poverty. I'm talking about physical, financial poverty as well. Paul wrote, in 2 Corinthians 9, this time verses 12 through 13, he says, you show gratitude through your generosity. You know, when you give, you're showing gratitude. You show gratitude through your generosity, and moved by God's extravagance through you, those you help will respond by praying for your need. When we pray for needs, God meets all of our needs, right? When we pray for the needs of others, God has promised, I will supply all of your needs. When you are generous and you're helping other people, we're promised that they will pray in thanksgiving for us that God will meet our needs as well. Gratitude forces generosity. You can't be a grateful person and not be generous. And it's hard to be generous without being grateful. There's a cycle to it. And the more you give thanks, the more God will give you to be thankful for. So you can give it away so that he can give more. It's that cycle of abundance. It's that cycle of generosity. It's the cycle of gratitude. South African preacher, devotional writer Andrew Murray said, to be thankful for what we have received is the surest way to receive more. You want to have more in your life? You want to have more in your life? You want God's abundance in your life? The surest way is to be thankful for what you have received. And then to be generous with it, because the two go hand in hand. Generosity will break apart poverty, all kinds, all levels of poverty in your life. It is good for you, body, mind, and spirit. It is good for you emotionally. It is good for you relationally. It is good for you financially as well. That's God's promise and not mine. Now, you're a little quiet today. I think there's too much Thanksgiving meal still being worked out in your life. You're very, very quiet today. Makes me nervous when you are. So I want to do an experiment. Okay? We're going to do a little role play today. Will you work with me on this? Say yes. Yeah, good, good. Very, very cooperative this morning. We're going to do an experiment. I'm going to divide the room into two right down the middle here, balcony in the main floor. And on my left, in a moment, I'm going to have us all stand, and we've saved the greeting time till now, right? We didn't do greet fellowship. Now's the time we're going to do that, okay? So in a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and on my left, so everybody from this side over, you are going to greet each other with grumbling, okay? Today only, I'm going to allow you to gripe about anything you want as you greet each other. You can gripe about the way you feel. You can gripe about the weather. You can gripe about the Oregon Ducks. Or their coach. Or you can gripe about the person sitting next to you. You can gripe about the off-key worshipers today, if you want. There's only, I didn't say there was any, but if you think that. There's just two things you can't gripe about. You cannot grumble about the government, sorry, and you can't gripe about your pastor, okay? So this is the grumbling side. Well, guess what? This is the grateful side. You're going to stand and, you can already tell how this is going to work. I'm sorry over there. It's not personal. I just had to choose one or the other, all right? And so when you stand, you're going to greet each other with gratitude. What are you thankful for? Thankful for your pastor. Thankful for the weather. Thankful for your pastor. Thankful for Thanksgiving. Thankful for the people around you. Thankful for your pastor. Thankful for whatever you want to be thankful for, okay? So on my left are the grumblers. On my right are the thankers. And I'm going to give you just 30 seconds so you can't carry on like you normally do, okay? You got just 30 seconds to do this. Are you ready? Okay, everybody stand. 30 seconds. Grumblers, go. Thankers, go. Rumblers and thinkers. All right. Go ahead and take your seats. Thank you. You can be seated, please. All right. You know, I'm a little concerned that these guys are still going on over here, right? Hey, grumblers, you're done. All right, so let's do a little feedback. First of all, with the grumblers, who of you, just show of hands on this one, okay? Who of you feels happier and holier than you did pre-grumbling? Let me see your hands. Okay. Two people. So obviously you have the spiritual gift of griping, all right? That's your spiritual gift, right? And we kind of knew that already, right? No, I'm kidding. Okay, so the thinkers. How many of you feel more vibrant, alive, and closer to God than you did pre-gratitude? That was a weak response, but the clapping part, but the hands up. If you didn't raise your hand, how many didn't raise your hand? If you didn't raise your hand, you belong on the left side over there, so you could just get up and move, and you'd be right at home over there. Here's the deal. Here's the deal with all of this. Gratitude opens the door to God's cycle of abundance. Gratitude opens the door to God's cycle of abundance. Amen. Not the least of which is an abundance of joy. I'm serious. I love what David Steindl-Rast said. I want you to hear this. I want you to think about this. If you can, copy it down. Very profound insight. He wrote, "The root of joy is gratitude. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful." So right on and so powerfully profound is that. I want you to say it with me. The root of joy is gratitude. It's not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. Now, last week, I spoke specifically a couple of life lessons for our students. I said that it's not what happens to you that's important. It's how you respond to it. And very, very important life lesson that will lead you to success in life. And this is another life lesson right here. You think, well, I'm not happy. I'm unhappy. Well, listen, you're in charge of your happiness. It's not circumstances that make you happy or unhappy, right? It's a choice that comes from inside. It is and by the way, to come back to this, if you want to be happy, if you want to be joyful, be grateful. Your inner gratitude, listen, your inner gratitude will produce joy and happiness and well-being in your life. It's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you. And when you offer your life, the good and the bad, as you offer your response to God of gratitude, it produces joy. The root of joy is gratitude. It's not joy that makes us grateful, it's gratitude that makes us joyful. Gratitude is that powerful. It breaks the cycle of self-perpetuating poverty, financially, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. It's that powerful. I want to end with a story told by Barbara Johnson, who was an inspirational writer. And then when I'm done with the story, we're going to receive our our missions offering, our Thanksgiving offering. But she tells a story in one of her books about a woman who had a really bad, horrible, rotten day. She woke up on the wrong side of the bed. She woke up grumpy. And she was late for work. And she had to ride the bus, which was just a horrible experience. And then she got to work, and things went from bad to worse. Nothing went right. The whole day was just horrible. She got to the end of the day, and it just was a bad, bad, bad day. So she left work and went back to the bus stop, and sure enough, the bus was late. And when it showed up, it was just packed with people, and she had to force her way onto the bus and force her way to the back, and there was no room to sit down. She had to stand up, and it was just, the day was not ending any better. It was getting worse. And she was hanging on for dear life as the bus started and stopped and turned corners, and she was getting jostled all around, and her attitude was just getting even more rotten and foul than it had been. And all of a sudden, she heard a voice, a man's voice from the front of the bus. She couldn't see who it was, but she heard a man's voice that said, "What a beautiful day this is." And then that voice proceeded to talk about everything that was giving him joy, everything that they passed, it was bringing joy into his heart. You know, a playground on this side, a church on that side, an ice cream shop over here, a playground over here, a museum here, this beautiful park over here, just all the stuff that was giving this man joy and making his world a beautiful place. And the lady noticed that suddenly the entire atmosphere of the bus changed. It was a lot lighter. It was a lot happier. People were smiling and feeling better, and she noticed that she had a smile on her own face as well. Man's enthusiasm was so contagious, she just found herself beginning to bubble up with joy. When the bus reached the stop, her stop, she pushed her way to the front. And as she was getting off the bus, she wanted to see who this man was. And she glanced over, and there he was, seated in the front seat. He was a rather plump man. He was wearing dark glasses, and he had a white cane. He was blind. And she stepped off the bus, and she realized that it wasn't such a bad day after all. And she also realized that God had sent her, a blind man, to help her to see that no matter what, it was still a beautiful world that God had given her to live in. That's thanksgiving. That's thanksgiving. A.W. Tozer said that thanksgiving, gratitude, is an offering that is precious in the sight of God. And it's one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it. Even the poorest of us can be grateful and be richer for having made it. It's the power of gratitude. And I want you to know that God is serious about blessing our gratitude. Just because this has been Gratitude Month, this has been the Thanksgiving initiative that we've had for the last 30 days. I hope that you won't allow it to stop here. I hope, like my friend Jason, that we will carry this on 365 days a year. God is serious about blessing our gratitude. I've been thinking, I have so loved this 30 days of thanks, this gratitude initiative. It is, I think, been enriching my life, and I still have a ways to go with it, but I have come out of this thinking, you know what, I'm not going to let go of this concept. I'm going to keep this gratitude revolution going, at least in my own life. And so I'm making a commitment before you, and I thought about doing this or not doing this because this is going to be tough. But I am going to enter into, I'm going to commit to a Thanksgiving project this entire next year, that I'm going to give 365 days of actionable gratitude through my life. And here's what I'm going to do. I don't know if you know this or not, but for years now, I've done a devotional blog. I post it online. There's a blog site, and then it gets posted to social media that it's just kind of not a very deep theological thing, but just a way of encouraging people with what I've been reading in God's Word that day. And over the years, I say this not to brag, but it's out there. I've had almost 2 million visits to this site, believe it or not. And maybe you've never visited it, but I'm going to post something every day. I'm going to take a scripture and I'm going to post something about gratitude 365 days in 2017. Now, I would encourage you to do something like that as well. If it's in a journal, if it's writing it down, if it's like we've been doing in this gratitude initiative, I don't know how you would do it. I would encourage you to join me in this because I believe in this. I believe in that we can start a revolution of gratitude if we will stay intentional about it. And maybe you're going, I can't commit to that. Then I invite you to live it through me because I will post this and you can follow it and you can take what I'm grateful for and you can express it yourself. You don't have to do it, but I believe that if we will grasp this, it will revolution our lives, our relationships, and ultimately our community and our world. And so I'm putting it out there. I'm making this commitment. You pray for me because it's a long slog to do this, but I am so convinced that God is ultra serious about blessing our gratitude. I hope you'll join me.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.